So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago, despite a battle with COVID protocols and ongoing injuries, the Bulls are in the midst of a pretty exciting season, and one of the brightest spots has been DeMar DeRozan. Yes, he's been in the league for 13 years, but most people, including me, thought his All-Star days were behind him. But DeRozan is saying, nah, I'm still here. I sit down with Bulls insider Casey Johnson to ask, how far can this star really take us? It's Wednesday, January 26th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. KC Johnson is a Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago and has been covering the team for over 30 years. In his own words, from Dynasty to Dalibor to Derek to DeMar. KC, welcome to CityCast Chicago.
Thanks for having me on, Jacoby. I appreciate it.
DeRozan is, by, let's say, professional standards, kind of an older player, right? He's 32. He's in his 13th season. But let's kind of go back. Can you tell me, where did DeMar's NBA career start?
Well, I mean, he was drafted, obviously, by the Toronto Raptors out of USC. Historically, that's been a franchise where, you know, some NBA players might have grumbled about being there or, you know, complained about the adjustment of living in a different country. But it just seemed like he really embraced not only being the face of that franchise, but you're really kind of ostensibly the face of a country.
Canadian basketball.
Country's love for basketball. That just always stood out to me, was his embracing of that and his loyalty.
When Toronto drafted him 9th overall back in 2009, what kind of player did they think they were getting coming out of USC?
You know, they saw a player, you know, with potential to become a explosive scorer. You know, if you look at his stats, I mean, he didn't really wow the NBA in his rookie year, even his first couple of years. I mean, they've just progressively gotten better. And then obviously he became a 4-time All-Star.
By the time the second year rolled around, he had doubled his points per game average. He was starting to kind of step into a position as a somewhat leader for Toronto's team. What was his stint in Toronto like overall?
He did everything but get past that this generation's version of MJ. I mean, LeBron always was in his way. I mean, the Raptors had a lot of success in the regular season.
A number one seed.
Yeah, they made some deep playoff runs. They made it to a conference finals, but there was that LeBron guy always kind of in his way. And, you know, we've talked to DeMar a little bit about that this season.
I got the utmost respect for LeBron. You know, arguably could say I've competed against one of the all-time greatest players, you know, in my generation of basketball. And it's definitely a one of those situations that, you know, when I'm older, I could say I played against that guy. So, you know, nothing but the utmost respect to LeBron.
There's not much shame in that. I mean, I don't think you can come to any conclusion about his Toronto stint other than it was a massive success.
But after that 2018 year where Toronto was a number one seed, they were expected to finally get over that hump, and they were unsuccessful. And during that offseason, DeMar was traded from the Raptors to the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, Casey, you know the story. The next year, the Raptors immediately win the NBA Finals. The Spurs miss the playoffs 2 of the 3 years DeMar is there. How do those two things kind of weigh on his reputation? Do you think it was fair in the ways a lot of people did was to blame DeMar for that, for holding Toronto back and now holding San Antonio back?
Yeah, you just watch that from afar, and it certainly looks painful because of how much he invested in that Toronto franchise and how much he said he wanted to stay his whole career there. And then boom, he's sent out not on his own terms, and boom, they win the championship. So
I was very shocked when they chose to trade him. I knew that a shakeup was going to happen because, again, you just got swept. But the last person I thought who was going to have to bear the brunt of that failure was DeMar DeRozan.
And then, you know, like you said, he goes out of San Antonio. And I think if you really get into his numbers, he played at an incredibly high level with the Spurs.
He grew as a player.
Exactly. I was about to say, he kind of transformed his game a little bit. It became a little less isolation heavy, a little less scoring, and more just kind of facilitating, playmaking. The fact the Spurs were not in the playoffs, to me, was not his fault because he played at a very high level, but it just kind of ties into the storyline. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, all these experiences, to me, are kind of formative experiences that kind of lead him to where he is now.
Coming into the last year's offseason, let's be real, DeMar wasn't a huge name that was being thrown around, but when he got brought up in conversations, there's a lot of speculation that DeMar was going to head back to California to play for one of his hometown teams, LA Clippers or the LA Lakers. That obviously didn't happen. Why do you think DeMar ultimately chose to sign with the Bulls?
It was pretty well documented throughout the league. I'm glad you brought up the Lakers that he was going home. And obviously, the Lakers organization chose to make that pivot and pursue Russell Westbrook. And so the money dried up. You know, when that fell apart, it became a pretty clear path to this situation, and that's for multiple reasons. Let's start with Nikola Vucevic, who he played with at USC. You know, they would occasionally check in throughout their various NBA stops and say, "Hey, man, wouldn't it be kind of fun to play together at some point?" I mean, that it's not a small portion of this.
Nikola Vucevic is the Bulls' current center. We traded for him last season and got him from the Orlando Magic, where he was a multi-time All-Star, so another great player.
Correct. And then another significant factor was his relationship, which was not strong on a personal level, but one of mutual respect with Chicago Bulls All-Star guard Zach LaVine. The way that they connected, Jacoby, is on a kind of a chip on a shoulder level. I mean, Zach LaVine has never been to the NBA playoffs despite achieving a lot of individual success and possessing quite a bit of talent, individual talent.
He had never even won 3 or 4 games in a row until he played for the Olympic team this past summer.
Crazy. So if you look at DeMar's history, you know, USC, kind of an underdog choice in college, maybe over some bigger name schools. Toronto, overlooked franchise and embraces that. He's always kind of had this underdog role, and he's never broken through to the title. So then he kind of bonded with Zach LaVine over that.
When you get with a guy that want to win, that really wants to win, and selfless, everything else becomes easier.
Another crucial element is the Chicago Bulls general manager is a guy by the name of Mark Eversley, and he used to work for the Toronto Raptors organization, and he and DeMar had a very substantive, genuine relationship.
The talent that's here, the way they're building to be something, to be something special, to win. You know, once I seen it all come together, it was something that made the most sense to me.
And I would say that that's where I think that this management team deserves a lot of credit, because this move was pretty widely criticized. Not universally, but widely criticized, because a lot of people did not view DeMar DeRozan's game as a skill set fit alongside that of Zach LaVine's.
When the Bulls signed DeMar over the summer for 3 years, $82 million buckaroos, a lot of analysts, even some fans, were calling it the worst signing in free agency. At the time, Casey, keep it real with me. Where did you fall on that spectrum?
I mean, I don't need to keep it real with you, because I could.
He said, "We got the receipts. I got the article.
I can find the URL and send you the article I wrote." I mean, I was all on board with the move. I thought it was a fantastic move. Yes, you paid a lot for the guy, and you sent out, you know, significant assets in the sign and trade to acquire him. But man, he's a good player, and I was all on board with it.
Stick around, more Bulls next. One of the things as the offseason started to take shape that I really was loving as a fan is we put a lot of dogs on this team, a lot of hungry dudes who, across their career, whether you're looking at center Vucevic or point guard Lonzo Ball or guard Alex Caruso or LaVine DeRozan, these are people who, across their career, at some point or another, have been doubted, have been counted out, have been told, you know, maybe you don't have it like that.
To me, that's a big reason why they've connected with this city and this fan base, beyond the fact that this fan base has been so starved for good product. They're all about the work. And, you know, as you know, Chicago, that flies pretty well here. The Bulls won all four of their preseason games. And what I saw was a style of play that I knew was going to translate to the regular season. I saw it. So by no stretch of the imagination did I have them as the number one seed in the East for a significant portion of January like they were. They've now dropped to number three as of this conversation. But I did think that pretty early on I saw signs that this was going
to
work.
Yeah. In this early season to this point, I've seen beautiful videos of DeMar and Lonzo Ball hugging. I've seen DeMar and Zach LaVine talking their shit and laughing. I even saw DeMar attend Ayo Dosunmu's jersey retirement at U of I. You know, what do all of these things say about DeMar as a leader for this team?
He's just a very substantive person. You can see it even in, like, the group media interviews that he does with us. He's very thoughtful. He's got just a calmness about him that, to me, kind of permeates the franchise and serves as a leadership point, because he just has a presence about him that's like, hey, man, we got this, you know. Mm-hmm. And whether it's win or lose, I mean, he obviously celebrated these two ridiculous buzzer beaters he made on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But if you watch the game the other night where they lost to the Celtics.
Gets it back to DeRozan. He gets to Vucevic. Open three. No.
And Nikola Vucevic missed a very good look at a wide open three to win the game in the final seconds.
Ball game over, Mike.
Ball game over.
Ball game over.
Boston by two, 114, 112.
Wow. DeMar is the first one walking over to him and putting his arm around him and saying, and you can see him clapping in the video. I mean, he's like, we got this. I mean, you just, he's experienced it all. He's been through a lot. He knows the rhythms of an NBA season, and that presence, it translates to other players, young and old, throughout the franchise. So that would be a sign of leadership to me. Mm-hmm.
Talking about celebrating those buzzer beaters, the ones to beat the Pacers and the Wizards to cap the year and to start the year.
DeRozan to win it! Good! DeMar DeRozan delivers!
He had two of the most nonchalant Chicago reactions you could have. It was very D-Rose, a la D-Rose in the playoffs type vibe. Like, he hit it and was just like, all right, it's good. Let's go home.
We got a much-needed stop. Kobe Doe for the ball. I just got the ball and just went and sized it up. It's either win or go home.
One thing that has broken my heart is, despite how well the Bulls play together, COVID and injury don't give a damn about any of that. And the Bulls are just battling to keep a healthy roster, which they haven't had for over a month. With DeMar in tow, how well can we do during this stint? Can we hang around that top three in the East?
Yeah, I think that might be hard. They got past the COVID outbreak, which was pretty intense and very widespread throughout December. And now they've just come upon some real injuries, with Lonzo Ball needing a scope of his knee to repair a meniscus injury, and then Alex Caruso fracturing his wrist and needing surgery for that. Zach is back Wednesday at home against the Raptors, so that will obviously help. And they do have a little bit of a easier schedule. I mean, they are facing a bunch of teams that are not currently in the playoff picture, so they have an opportunity to be okay for a while. But I do think holding on to a top three spot is probably a little ambitious for my seed. But I've been wrong many, many times before.
DeMar DeRozan, as we said at the top, 32 years old. We signed him for 3 years. Is this something that the Bulls fans can maybe hope, like, look forward to over the next couple of seasons? Or do you feel like we're in a very much a win now situation, or do everything you can now, or can we expect DeMar to stick around and maybe play at this level for a couple more seasons?
Again, I'll preface this by saying I'm wrong very, very often. I personally will be surprised if he can keep this level up for two more years. And if he ever hears this, he'll probably, you know, remind me when he does play this level for two more years. I mean, look, he's in the MVP conversation, and I don't think anybody saw that one coming. now that they are doing what they're doing this season, to me, it's like this is the foundation. And he doesn't need to play at this level the next couple of years for the Bulls to stay at the level that they are at, because Zach can take on more. Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso are both here. This situation is going to become attractive enough around the league that other situations can develop, other opportunities can present themselves. So just getting him here this season and raising the validity level of this franchise again throughout the league, that's significant enough. So I personally see this becoming the start of a, you know, solid era of Bulls basketball. Can it be a championship contending era like, you know, D Rose opened back in 2010? We'll see. It'll be certainly fun watching and seeing if they can get there.
Casey Johnson is the Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago. Thank you for making time for us here at CityCast.
I had a blast. Thank you.
The Bulls are home tonight against DeMar DeRozan's old team, the Toronto Raptors. Start time at 7 p.m. on NBC Sports Chicago. Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. Chicago ranks 5th in air pollution near public schools in the country, and now a new map from UIC allows you to track exactly what is causing pollution in your community. Check the map in the show notes. The Mars Wrigley plant on the far west side will close, according to the company. It plans to wind down operations over the next 2 years, affecting about 300 jobs. In the city council today, the Little Village Arch is expected to be named a city landmark. And some good news to get you through. Chicago's 25th annual Filet of Solo Live Lit and Storytelling Festival is virtual again this year, meaning for the next 2 weeks, you can see about 40 performers via their online gallery and sign up for live Zoom workshops and panels. For more Chicago stories and events, make sure you subscribe to our daily newsletter at chicago.citycast.fm. It's fire. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
He's always available. He's never turned down an interview request, which...
Shit, I need to talk to him then. If he ain't turning them down, well, I need to get his number.